If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
After spending time with his family in the U.S. Virgin Islands over the holidays, President Biden is reportedly planning to announce he will run for re-election because nothing reminds you how much you love your job like some holiday time with the family.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to actor Allison Williams. But first, a closer look.
Well, Republicans in the House finally elected a speaker post-midnight early on Saturday after Kevin McCarthy acquiesced to the demands of the most extreme members of his caucus, the same people who tried to overthrow the 2020 election in a stunning and humiliating turn of events that nearly led to a physical brawl on the House floor and almost certainly portends nonstop chaos for the next 2 years. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. It took 4 days and 15 tries, but Republicans were finally able to elect a speaker early on Saturday morning, just after midnight. This is the first time in a century it's taken more than one ballot to elect a speaker, never mind 15. But when it was all said and done, Republicans reacted like they had just won the Super Bowl.
The Honorable Kevin McCarthy of the state of California, having received a majority of the votes cast, is duly elected Speaker of the House of Representatives.
I get it. I'd also break into applause if it meant I didn't have to spend my Saturday with Matt Gaetz. Hey, if you need to run errands, I can babysit your daughter. My daughter is 21. She doesn't need a Gaetz! That joke is based on news reports. So yeah, you're happy, I get it. But that reaction seems like a lot considering it took you 4 days and 15 tries just to make one decision. This is like if the Jets pop champagne in the locker room just for getting their cleats on. And if you're wondering, I'm not feeling bitter toward the Jets just because they eliminated my Steelers from playoff contention by losing to the Dolphins on Sunday, even though everything else that needed to happen for the Steelers to snag a playoff berth happened. I did, however, take a swing at our security guard Jim this morning, and he was very cool about it. He only broke one of my fingers. Though he did add, there's more where that came from, which I did not love hearing. It truly is absurd to watch these doofuses celebrate like they just landed a rover on Mars because they were finally able to make one governing decision. The only time I've ever felt that much relief at someone making one decision is when I go out to dinner with my mom. Should I have the chicken or the fish? Mom, we have been here for 4 days. I want the chicken, but Lauren Boebert says I should force the waiter to read the specials one more time because she doesn't want to live in a country where halibut is off the menu. Now, as we told you last week, before he finally won on the 15th ballot, McCarthy was stuck in a sort of existential purgatory where he just had to keep sitting through losing votes over and over again because until a speaker is chosen, there's basically nothing else that Congress can do, which meant that they had to keep tallying up the votes, and the House clerk, Cheryl Johnson, who did a fantastic job, had to keep announcing the results the same way every time until there was finally a winner.
A speaker has not been elected. 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 The Honorable Kevin McCarthy of the State of California, having received a majority of the votes cast, is duly elected Speaker of the House of Representatives.
We called her. We were like, can you just one time wear like a super goofy cowboy hat? Because it'll make it so funny in the montage. This poor woman, for 4 days, she wasn't the House clerk. She was a hostage. They should have made her Speaker of the House. She did the Republicans a huge favor, it should be noted, by remaining calm and steadfast and good at her job. She gave the proceedings a level of decorum they honestly didn't deserve. If that had been me up there, I wouldn't have been able to say a speaker has not been elected in such a calm manner 14 times. I would have reacted like Steve Harvey when someone says something really dumb on Family Feud. We do use clips of Steve Harvey on Family Feud a lot, but only because no one in the world is better at their job than he is at his. By the way, this all unfolded into the late hours of Friday night and early Saturday morning. Generally speaking, that is not the sign of a healthy democracy. Nothing good happens after midnight on a Friday. If you're that old and you're up after midnight, you're probably drunk and buying something real dumb off QVC. Hello? Yeah, I'd like to buy three of the Victorian-style porcelain doll lamps. And could you throw in one of those portable hand massagers as well? Yeah, my security guard broke my finger, and I think he's gonna do it again! But of course, I couldn't help it. I was up late watching it all unfold. When I was a kid and I was up late watching TV, it used to be stuff like horror movies or Cinemax or, let's be honest, Taxi Cab Confessions. Oh yeah, baby! Give me 20 minutes of an Eastern European couple in weird disco outfits coming down from cocaine and hitting on a bemused cab driver. It wasn't much, but before the internet, it was the closest you could get to porn without finding a penthouse for him in the woods behind the school. Now things are so insane that if I'm up late watching TV, it's not softcore porn, it's C-SPAN, because that has been hardcore. If you were watching C-SPAN as all this unfolded, you got to see some tense and surreal images from a night that was unprecedented in American political history. Just to give you a taste of what happened before we get into the blow-by-blow, there was almost a literal blow-by-blow, when one member of the Republican caucus had to be restrained by his face so he couldn't physically assault another Republican member of Congress. Look at this. It's one thing to hold a dude back by his shoulders, but by his face? Is this the House of Representatives or a Long Island wedding? He ain't worth it, Tony. Come on, Tony. This is Anthony's wedding. Tony, get Tony out of here so we don't embarrass Anthony. He's having such a tough time because the Jets are so lousy. That was Republican Congressman Mike Rogers lunging after Gates, one of the last remaining holdouts. Here's what a third Republican member who was in the middle of the scrum had to say about the near brawl, which should give you a pretty good indication of where the Republican Party is at right now. Again, this is one of their fellow Republicans describing what happened. Quote, people shouldn't be drinking, especially when you're a redneck. On the House floor. Now, I know that sounds like a Jeff Foxworthy bit, but actually, it was in the original draft of the Constitution. Benjamin Franklin was being super sassy towards Thomas Jefferson because Franklin lived in Philadelphia and Jefferson was from Virginia. Jefferson got drunk one night and said, quote, any dumbass can fly a kite in a lightning storm. So then Franklin responded, and this was his real voice, because remember, he lived in Philly. You guys should take it easy on the booze and drink some water. And I know a lot of you jackals out there are going to be like, Benjamin Franklin wasn't born in Philadelphia. He lived in Boston. He moved there when he was 17. Why would he have a Philly accent? Well, because if you have a Boston accent and you move to Philly, they, like, chuck batteries at you. Whatever it was back then, like horseshoes. I don't know what. Self-preservation. He said water out of self-preservation. Friday night's drama started with McCarthy confidently predicting that he had the votes to finally become speaker after acquiescing to the... After acquiescing to the demands of the most extreme members of his caucus, when reporters asked him how he could be so confident, he had a simple answer.
I'll have the votes.
Well, what are you? What are their concerns?
Why are you confident you have the votes?
Because I can.
No. Can you? Because the only person in that chamber that I trust to count is this lady. It's not exactly confidence-inspiring when you're trying to become second in line to the presidency, and your big brag is that you share a skill with a Muppet. I can count. I have a sweet tooth. And most of all, me very ticklish. But you'll be shocked to learn this. It turns out McCarthy couldn't count because when Republicans got to the floor on Friday night for what they thought would be their 14th and final ballot, they discovered midway through the process that they didn't have the votes. That's when this truly unprecedented scene took place, with McCarthy walking over to Gates on the House floor during the voting to confront him and get him to change his mind. And that confrontation ended with the now infamous lunge we showed you before. Here is CNN's real-time commentary of that moment as it unfolded live on national television late on Friday night.
Kevin McCarthy walks off the...
He does not look happy.
I'm changed.
Somebody can change.
Kevin McCarthy walks off the floor.
No, he's talking.
Or he's, I'm sorry, he walks up the floor, rather. Matt Gaetz, he needed him to vote yes, not present.
This is it. I mean, this is do or die for him.
This is quite a sight to behold.
And votes.
Kevin McCarthy needs one vote to become Speaker of the House.
No, he does not look
Matt Gaetz does not look like he is willing to acquiesce and change his vote from present.
There's some guy in the back who was
literally
to yell at Gaetz in a pink tie, and another member pulled him back.
Look at that face.
He looks dejected. Look at that.
It's like watching a British nature documentary about those jacked kangaroos who fight for dominance. This is quite a sight to behold. The alpha male is approaching his rival with his chest puffed out. And wait, what's this? The alpha male is begging with his rival to please be nice to him. Quite a humiliating spectacle. And now a third kangaroo, described by his friends as a drunken redneck, has entered the fray and is being restrained by his face. And that was just one of the many crazy sequences that were apparently happening on the House floor Friday night. A photographer also captured this incredible moment where Marjorie Taylor Greene held up her phone to a colleague, and then he held up his hand to indicate he didn't want the call. And when you zoom in, you can see that the call is from DT, a.k.a. Donald Trump. Trump must have been so embarrassed by that pic of a Republican not wanting to take his call. Although, knowing Trump, he'd probably claim it wasn't him on the phone. The fake news is saying Republicans ignored me, but that wasn't me calling. It was a different DT, the great David Tennant. Doctor Who himself. You know, some people say his name is the Doctor, but I like to say Doctor Who. A friend came up to me once. Big guy, strong guy, giant nerd, tears pouring down his face. And he said to me, sir, have you seen the doctor? And I said, Doctor Who? And he said, the doctor. And I said, I know Doctor Who. And he said, the doctor. And we went back and forth. Back and forth in circles like that for hours. This was on January 6th, by the way. It's one of the reasons I wasn't answering calls for help, because I was engaged in this little silly vaudeville routine. It was a lot of fun. And in the end, of course, third base. Now, McCarthy finally acquiesced. Boy, he's really putting it in there a lot today, isn't he? God forbid we give in and find a synonym for acquiesced. Oh, no, Sal wouldn't cave. McCarthy finally acquiesced. Oh. Everybody at home watching, like, oh, a genius must have written this. McCarthy finally acquiesced to a bunch of demands from the extreme holdouts in his caucus, which we're still finding out about now. But if you think this chaos and hostage-taking means we're in for 2 years of nonstop dysfunction in the House, Kevin McCarthy would like to tell you you're wrong, because according to him, it was actually a very valuable experience.
How do you expect to govern this way if it has been taking this long to get the conference united?
See, this is the great part. Because it took this long, now we learned how to govern.
a week ago, I had no idea you could grab a congressman by the face. But now I know, we all know, it's a safe and effective way of slowing them down. Things are doubtlessly going to become increasingly unhinged thanks to the concessions McCarthy made to the extremists in his caucus. The next step for the House is to vote on a new set of rules, which may happen after this taping, we're not sure. And sadly, C-SPAN will have to go back to its normal way of operating by using only government-controlled cameras. While this whole thing dragged on, C-SPAN could do whatever it wanted. And without any constraints, C-SPAN was like watching Teen Wolf play basketball. And now with the moon no longer full, it's just a 5'6" point guard who can shoot free throws, and that's about it. Do we still love you, C-SPAN? Sure, but we will never forget your incredible week of furry-ass dunks. Now, sadly, we're going to go back to the days of barely being able to hear what happens on C-SPAN, because whenever someone in the C-SPAN control room asks to jack up the volume, someone else informs them that
a speaker has not been elected.
This has been a closer look.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
You know our guest tonight? From HBO's hit series Girls and the critically acclaimed film Get Out, she stars in and executive-produced Megan, which is in theaters now. Please welcome back to the show our friend Allison Williams, everybody! Allison, I'm so happy to see you!
I'm so happy to see you!
It has been, obviously a lot has happened in the world, but it's been a long time since you've been here, and a lot has happened for you as well. I want to talk about the movie, but you had a baby.
What?
Yes, you did. And a real one, not some creepy Megan.
I had a real human baby. Yeah.
And engaged as well. Congratulations
Thank you
on
so
everything.
Much.
And
Thank
how
you.
I've been lucky over the years to get to know your parents pretty well. And I know they took being a parent very seriously. They were incredibly loving and supportive. How
when
are they doing?
He says that, by the way. What he means is that every time he saw my dad in the building, because my dad used to work for NBC, my dad would say, you know, my daughter wants to be an actress. And you were like, it's not up to me.
Yeah, that's all I am. And in fact, I'm going to say this now because it makes what you've accomplished even more impressive. I did everything to stop it.
You did. Yeah. Thwarted again.
And I couldn't manage it.
Stop it. Yeah. It was inevitable.
But
was
how are they, my question was going to be, how are they doing as grandparents?
Oh, they're obsessed with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's like a drug, grandparentism, grandparenthood.
Yeah.
Is like intoxicating in this way because it's all the love and none of the responsibility.
Yeah.
And so they just, they're so into it. They're so engaged. They're super helpful. It's the best. They're funny. They know all the songs still. They know Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes like it was yesterday.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of, you know, clues within the song as to where...
That's true.
Like, but it's one of the easier choreographies to remember.
Yeah, but the bridge, eyes, you know, eyes and ears and nose.
Oh, yeah, I never get
to
the bridge.
It's like, oh, you don't. You skip. You're just a verse guy.
I'm just like, we're just going to do the main parts... Choruses for high school.
You're probably like a one animal old McDonald too. Then
absolutely.
Oh gosh, we do the whole anyway. Oh, they're very very engaged and amazing. I'm really lucky.
You had your family came to you to the premiere of Megan.
Yes,
this is a lovely photo, everybody.
Yeah.
And I want to show a second photo as well because here you are. This is a great red carpet photo with a bunch of Megans. Also, your dad, and I should note, this is the producer of the film, Jason Blum. Yeah. So you have sort of four Megan lookalikes and then a look not alike. But the part that really I just noticed is look how happy your dad is, here he is, to be with his family.
Yeah.
And then here's how happy he is to be with the Megans. So this movie had a fantastic first weekend, which is so exciting because I think, you know, anybody loves movies. It's really exciting when people want to go back out to the theater to see them. And
obviously you have the avatars of the world, which are sort of a different thing. Yeah. But this is a movie people were so excited to go to. It was PG-13, so like just people, I think this was a movie that people loved the idea of seeing it in a theater. What was it like being at the premiere with a packed house?
It was so fun. Well, of course, I've spent like months watching cuts of it just like on an iPad, which is, it was great. I was excited about it. But seeing it in a full theater, like, tells you a lot about like humans and human nature, because about halfway through our movie, something truly messed up happens. And people were cheering. And it wasn't an isolated incident. It happened again. I went to another screening in New York, full audience. People cheer. And then there's like a self-loathing laughter that happens afterwards where you're like, I can't believe my every part of my being, my all cells of my organism were rooting for this thing to happen. And people are like, ugh. They like want to shower afterwards. But that's what's so fun about this movie. It's like, it's fun. People come out of it and say, I had a blast, which sounds weird because you're also scared the whole time.
Yeah.
But it's funny. And it's like, it's self-aware in a weird way. But yeah, of course, we were thrilled that audiences were having so much fun with it.
I think that, you know, at this point, if people are going to make that leap to actually go out of the house,
yeah, if
and
you're
going to
leave
it,
and pay the $1,000 per ticket and get, you know, do the whole thing and like masks or no masks or whatever you want to do, like, it's a big ask.
Yeah.
And so like, I better mean it when I say you're going to have fun, and I do. I mean it.
Well,
you're going to enjoy it.
The film is made by people who understand that people are going to see it together.
Yes.
I think that self-aware means that, like, look, we know exactly who this is for, and
yeah,
that's why I think when people laugh and people scream at the same time,
yeah,
part of it is an appreciation of, oh, the people who made this movie,
yeah,
took care of us.
Yeah, we made it for you.
Yeah.
Like, we built in time for you to have the responses that we hoped you were going to have. Like, we had to add time. At one point, Megan likes to sing and dance sort of spontaneously, and in one of the moments where she breaks into song, we had to add time because the laughter in the test screenings took too long.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the kind of thing. Like, we're making it for you guys. We're not just making it for ourselves. I mean, we're all vain, obviously, but it's not that vain.
It's a great deal,
yeah. Exactly.
Like, we make it for ourselves, but then we realize it only...
Other people are going
to
see it, yeah.
Because
yeah,
we like to make it for ourselves, but then we also like to make money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's our whole industry.
We just described show business. I have so many more questions for Allison. We'll be right back with more after this. Welcome back to Late Night. We're here with Allison Williams. So even before this film came out, Megan became this sort of iconic image, very memeable. But for you, how often were you acting with a person? How often was it CGI? Were there puppets involved?
Well, I love the way you ask it. Like, that couldn't, yes, there were. So I didn't want to talk about it too much before the movie came out, because the magic is kind of like, I just want people to think of her as Megan. But that aside, just because it's fun to discuss, we achieved her in a couple of different ways. One was just like a static, posable doll that didn't do anything, but was terrifying.
Yeah.
I think the scariest of all.
Of all of them, the static one.
I think
yeah,
so, because
okay,
also she was most likely to be sort of like left in a corner somewhere, right, and so then you're likely to be like running to the bathroom, like gotta run, and then you run past, like, you just, she's just there. So that, she was the scariest. Then there was an animatronic, which required, I think, 6 people to operate. So there's
yeah,
a puppeteer, a grip usually moving her around, 2 people on these like what looked like video game controllers, I think they weren't, who were like making her face move and making her blink and stuff like that, and then a guy at a switchboard who was controlling her like audio and like the actual mechanisms that made her work. And that was the most complicated. She was very temperamental, the animatronic. And then there was Amy. So Amy was 12 when we made the movie, and she performed Megan in the more, like when she danced, for example, that was Amy. And she gets, she runs in a very specific way through the forest at one point, and that was also Amy. And that was also terrifying, though, because so Amy is like, if you could put sunshine in a person, like that is Amy. She is so joyful and sweet, but the mask is terrifying. So when you look at her, I had to tell myself, like, she's smiling under the mask, she's smiling under the mask, she's smiling under the mask, because it was just like a dead stare. Plus, they had tiny pinholes in her eyes so that she could see out. Not in her eyes. We didn't torture this child. That came out wrong.
Yeah.
They were like, they cut tiny little holes in the mask, in the eyeballs yeah, of the mask, so she could see out, but they fogged up. So she could only see for about 5 minutes, and then she was just like, unable to see anything. She couldn't hear very easily, so she communicated with hand signals. So you're interacting with this being that's going like this all day, or this, or this, and then the mask comes off, and she's like...
Was part of her audition to run with a mask through the woods?
I mean, no, but it should have been.
Yeah.
I just want to see a whole reality show.
Well,
if they make, like, is this cake, they should also just make that into a show.
Yeah, is
like,
this puppet?
Yeah, exactly.
Is this Amy? Is this
really,
puppet?
Exactly, but it's really hard to tell the difference between all three of them. Like, yeah. Even when you see them next to each other, which I have, I think, a photo of all three of them.
Are all three.
So that's all three.
Oh, I would have no idea.
I want you to try to guess.
Okay. That's the doll. That's Amy. That's the animatronic.
No.
Okay.
Should I just leave it at that?
Yeah.
Great. That's so annoying.
You're very good. You're
That's
very
so
good
annoying.
Executive producer.
Thank
You're like,
you.
I'm not going to give away the answer.
No, but you were wrong, which is amazing. And so it was like, yeah.
No, wait a second. She said it's amazing that someone like
happened.
Me could be wrong.
It's never happened. Alexi paid me good money to make you wrong at some point.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah, Alexi manages to find a few.
Yeah, exactly. We love. It was like a really creepy, the experience of filming it was creepiest when we weren't actually rolling.
Right.
Because then, but like having that this close to you, as you just saw in the clip, like it's intense. It's a lot. It felt human too. That's the creepiest part.
Well, I mean, and I think that's one of the reasons people are responding to it again. Like there was all of a sudden you see a character in a horror movie that is unlike anyone you've seen before. And it's just really fun. It's inventive and cool. You're great in it. Congratulations both on starring in it and executive producing it. And it is always so wonderful to have you here.
Thank
I hope everybody sees it. I know it had a big first weekend, but go check out Megan in theaters.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.